In a distant galaxy, the darkened caverns of a cruel world hold the secret to a fantastic adventure. A quest to free a world from slavery and the universe from tyranny. A quest for truth, dignity, and freedom.
There is a world above, a magnificent universe to which you can return if you have the courage.
A quest for Star Chaser, the legend of Arran.
Some obscure planet. A primitive chess computer was the first inorganic mind to beat man. In a few hours, I will be calling checkmate in the last such game the humans and their kind will ever play.
For freedom, an immortal struggle against the forces of evil. On an incredible journey to the edge of imagination and beyond, the legend lives on in a thrilling fight for survival. Star Chaser, the legend of Arran. The fantasy experience of a lifetime.
Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. It happens every Saturday night right here on your internet, radio, dial on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and more. You want to get a hold of us or find out what's coming up on our next episode, go to facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show, and you can comment. We'll read your comments.
Ooh,
on
that's
the air.
How a pro does it.
My name is Colin, and I'm surrounded by the internet radio superstars,
Brent,
Travis,
and Gary.
And tonight, it's my pick. Movie, and we watched a movie called Star Chaser,
Legend
of Arran from the year 1985. So I know what you're saying. Why does it have such a crazy long title? Well, it's in 3D.
Subtitles were the way. You go. Barbarian Queen, The Legend of the Sword,
right,
or something
like
that.
Yeah, like the early 80s or whatever, yeah. Right? But it was also like a 3D convention, because it was Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone, Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin.
Yeah.
Star Chaser, The Legend of Arran.
Hello, guys. It's the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Yeah, it's the right. Whole, like, you have to have a subtitle. That way it's like, oh, you're already in the mix. Yeah. This is already a bigger adventure, because it's not just
Star Chaser. Of the serial.
It's Star Chasers, The Legend of the... Chapter 1.
But some of that stuff, I mean, like, because it's like The Legend chapter of Arran, and you're like, well, who's Arran? I don't... That, like, alienates me.
Really?
The Destruction of Jared Sin, because I'm like, I don't even know if that's necessarily someone's name.
The Destruction of Jared Sin.
Yeah, does he get destroyed?
What are you talking about?
Is that the destruction...
Hold on, what are you talking about?
It's Metal Storm. Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin.
Oh, why you gotta say that?
Well, I did. But or before that, but it's like, I mean, I like the Metal Storm Star Chaser. It's like these kind of like...
The subtitles?
Yeah, and then the subtitle. Yeah.
But well, that's the only way to do, like, we have no sci-fi, like, I mean, people love Star Wars so fucking much. What we can do? Wing Blade. I mean, you guys, right, you just gotta take like Wing Blade. Like, what's
Adventures
something that's like
in the fifth dimension,
spacey sounding or flying sounding,
and a weapon,
and mix it with like a weapon or an adventure, or like, is it a battle? Is it planet battle of the planets or Star Chaser?
Well, there's a little bit of all of that.
Star Lord. What was the one we always thought? Star Crash. Star Crash is the one we love here at the freak show. One day we'll watch that in the freak show, I'm sure.
I saw this movie, like, I had to be, so I was like 11 years old, I think, when this came out. Like, okay, so it was originally shown in 3D.
Crazy.
And it was one of those things where, like, I became obsessed with 3D, seeing Jaws 3D that was like coming to theater. So like that,
and that was like 83.
That was 83, so I would have been 9, right? And I'm begging my parents, like, Jaws 3. I didn't even know about Friday the 13th Part 3 at that point. I probably would have gone apeshit. But I knew there was Jaws 3D, and it was coming out. And I'm like, can we go? Can we go? Can we go? And my dad was like, no, because, you know, like, I'm 9,
it's
right?
Jaws.
It's PG, and, like, there's a shark killing people. I'd seen Jaws 2, I think, on TV, so that's why I was obsessed. I don't even think I've seen the original Jaws. So I don't get to see it. I'm upset. I'm like, 3D, you can't fucking see it on TV unless, like, The Mask. Remember The Mask? Elvira? No, it wasn't even Elvira. But, like, around here we had, like, one of those late-night horror movie hosts, and they played, like, this red and blue movie called The Mask. From the,
Oh, shit?
You had to go to the 7-Eleven and get the glasses.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So I saw that, and the next thing that I saw, I was in, reading, like, a comic book or something, and I tore the back out of it because it had a poster.
For shame.
I was
Travis does not recommend what Colin did to that poor comic book.
Right, yeah. But
I'm sure Gary would
even
agree.
Remember. Well, maybe it was like a magazine. But I had it, and it
don't,
was
don't try
poster.
To make it up to us now by saying it was a magazine.
Yeah, but it was a poster,
it was a periodical.
For Star Chaser, The Legend of Orin. This, like, 2D, 3D, you know, it's a 3D movie. That's a 2D cartoon. I'm like, I gotta see this.
So it looked like
I'm 11. I convinced my dad to take me.
You saw those theaters?
This movie in the theaters. Oh, it played for 2 weeks.
How special.
And I remember sitting there and, like, okay, so it's PG, right? And I'm like 11 years old, and my parents are, you know, kind of, they're proper in their thinking. You're watching this movie. This is not a fucking kid's movie.
No.
There's so many hell's damn son
hell's
of a bitch.
Hell's damn
son.
Well, this is what
and sexual
over.
Innuendos.
There's one character. There's a fembot that says "son of a bitch," and I think I own every cartoon I saw as an adolescent that said "son of a bitch." That's why it's like this might. Go
this one's
on
going
show.
On your list.
There's something about a cartoon that takes that leap and, like, oh, this is serious shit.
But how many were
they're not
there
playing
back in the? Like,
well,
heavy
I watched
metal,
like
was
Japanese, but I watched there's a Japanese cartoon called The Guyver, not MacGyver, The Guyver. And I remember, I mean, I was like probably 11 years old, and the character says, "Malmot, don't call me Malmot, you son of a bitch. Stop this and give me back my humanity." I'm like, oh my God. That cartoon says "son of a bitch."
Yeah.
We're in a whole new world.
Well, didn't, like, one of the, was it G.I. Joe or the Transformers movie? There was some swearing. In
Transformers said shit. Transformers, the movie, said shit.
It's, like, really transgressive.
But they were getting sucked into a planet-eating robot, so I thought it was very appropriate for the scene. They're just not like, hey, what's the shits going on here?
It wasn't a gratuitous shit.
Yeah, it wasn't very... They were just like, they're sucking us back in! Shit!
Yeah, but you'd never
very
get,
appropriate.
You'd never get that kind of, like... In
but
a,
that
in
was
a kid's,
theater play,
a kid's
right?
Movie.
It wasn't television. It was because you were going to a theater.
Yeah.
They were... You know, it's, there's something about... I actually just heard this about the FCC. This is the way, like, even satellite radio was able to get away with being non-censored by the FCC. Is anything you pay for... You are submitting yourself
right.
To
and it's
it.
Got the rating
if
that's
it's
a
not
warning, right?
Freely
it's
broadcasted, then they don't need to be so...
It's more let the buyer beware kind of a thing.
Yeah, very much so. Which, but, I mean, why would a parent think, I'm going to Transformers the movie, it's going to say fuck your ass or something like that? Yeah. Like, what?
Well, you and I know how many parents took their kids to see Watchmen thinking it's Justice League. And found out the hard way, this is not
dude,
the Justice
but
League.
Nowadays, man, I saw parents with a little kid in Piranha, so it's like, kid parents
but they've got ratings
on
it. Well, but I mean, this was PG. I suppose that's a warning.
Is,
it wasn't G.
But there wasn't, because there wasn't PG-13 until when?
85. That was Red Dawn. Or,
really?
Sorry, it was The Woman in Red, I think.
And
was
this
the first
was
movie in Red Dawn.
This was just...
This is PG. In 1985.
You think maybe just because there was no, like, I mean, all violence was animated in this, so.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I mean, all it is hell, damn.
But it's a violent.
Lot. Son
it's,
of a,
yeah.
I would say
I saw those first two, like, the first thing he does is cut that one guy in half, that one mandroid. And then he stabs.
But they
the
were
other
robots
through the through the.
Yeah,
chest.
That's okay. You can kill a machine.
That's always been. You can hurt
but there
a
was
machine.
Like, there's like weird goo on the invisible.
Yeah, there's
sword
blood or there. Whatever.
That was the cyborg. The cyborg had the green goo.
Well, that's right. That's kind
of, like I want to like
cut
yeah,
the
wanna,
eye out of that the monster.
Yeah.
Wait, we're really quick.
Yeah,
just
I know,
to
yeah,
tell everybody
I,
what
like,
the movie.
Before we jump ahead.
So really quick, it's a movie about
oh,
a.
Oh, it's such a great.
It's
movie.
Kind of a little bit of a Star Wars ripoff. We'll
like Logan's Run, we got to get out of
a
our,
little bit.
Yeah, there's a group of people who live in a mine.
They're
world,
miners. They're,
and they worship Zygon, who comes out of this big fiery head. And Orin finds this sword that is
it's
a mythical sword with a. He has to find the blade from it.
It was
fucking
it was
stupid,
Excalibur.
Because it starts with the blade.
Yeah, Excalibur yeah. kind of thing. Yeah. And so he digs up, or up his hell, and ends up in the bigger universe. He meets a space pilot, not unlike Han Solo, goes on
holy
a big
shit,
adventure.
We're cruising through this, man. There's shit
no,
I want
to
talk about.
I know.
This blade
yeah,
turns into fucking
is.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It did. It
the
did.
Blade. Because that's what I don't. The hilt has a blade on it. You know, it, but it disappears
it.
And turns into Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it's like, you are the chosen one, and what does it even tell him? I mean,
it tells him he has to find the blade.
It was
blade.
Like a recording
yeah,
you have
from
to
the find, past.
Yeah,
you have to find
yeah but then R2-D2, you, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my yeah. only hope. You
yeah,
know?
But then you nailed that, too, with that when they discussed that about you have to find the blade. I'm not going to say what it was yet, but
you, can go
you
ahead.
Nailed
like,
that.
Oh, it's always in your heart. If the blade disappears and the sword, because that's... Instead of the lightsaber, this has the invisible blade that only works. It's the, like, what is it called? Like, the hilt of truth or the blade of truth or some shit? They said something about truth. So, it's an invisible blade that if you try to just hit anything, it, you know, there's nothing there. It's just a, it's just a, it's just the hilt.
Yeah.
But if you truly need help, or if somebody truly needs help, yeah. or if your deeds are truly
he who
good
is worthy,
and
yeah, yeah.
As long it's as, an invisible sword,
as long
almost
as
like
Orin
Thor's
is
hammer
wielding it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because when he tries to stab the wrong people, it doesn't work. It's only when it's actually justified. Yeah, I mean, this is a group of people who live in this the in mine world,
underworld,
right?
Yeah. Whatever,
and they're forced to dig these crystals. But
red
the thing,
crystals for like what? No
to feed
reason.
Their god, and then he sends back balls of bread.
Yeah. Okay, so... Well,
here's your bread, thank you.
A parallel that I can bring up with this movie, and one my last movie pick was Zardoz.
Zardoz.
Also about a guy who comes out of a head who is a Wizard of Oz.
He's
type.
A slave.
Yeah, he's yes. enslaved the populace through, you know, the use of
you're
a
always
false
a slave,
face,
folks.
Which is this giant head, and behind it, he's just a regular guy. Well, that's not entirely true. In this
well,
that's
case, your
that's
idol,
you're
right? The head is the
yeah.
idol.
Yeah.
You're slaves that worship an idol, and you've been suppressed, but you don't know you've been suppressed because you're just like, doing, hey, man, dude showers us with goods if we do yep. what he tells us.
Yeah, or showers you with lashings from the laser whips. They've
that's
got, like,
that's what's funny about this. It's like, why
that.
Would it be good for the god? Like, that's what doesn't make sense. It's like,
yeah.
is the propaganda not working?
Right.
I mean, obviously, because yeah. that's the characters defend him. They're like, oh, Zygon, or whatever his fucking
right.
name is. Zygon.
Zygon.
Zygon. Yeah. You know, Alpha.
Yeah,
exactly.
they're
Alpha,
still,
yeah.
But they still have to crush the spirit of the working man. I know that they're focusing him on a god to worship, but at the same time, it's like so that they don't think on their own and think that there's something better that you know that the whipping and everything is.
Well, but the crystals are their tribute to him, and as it is taken into the fiery head and then comes back, as it's coming back, well then for their tribute, he gives them the. Their gift is what they call it, but it's just a ball of bread.
Yeah, here's
cloth.
Your gift.
Get your
yeah.
gift. Yeah, and everybody's jumping in, fighting over these balls of
but
bread.
But if they don't feed them, then that's a pretty good gift.
Yeah, so it's not really it's, yeah,
it's
not really a gift.
That's what,
you know?
But I don't
work will
they,
set you free, you know?
They just didn't have a conversation about that because it's like, okay, so Orin, right?
Yeah.
Orin, yes.
That's in the subtitle.
Orin Skywalker.
Orin Skywalker.
The young lad
I mean,
going on an intergalactic
they
adventure.
They understand they're suppressed, some, but that's what that's yeah. the only thing that doesn't, I mean, I guess, the. I mean, there just wasn't a scene where there's people that understand they're being suppressed, but then there's a group more powerful that are like, don't
questions I got.
Yep.
Was there a scene that said that?
Were they all robots, though? I thought all the robots were the ones that were saying don't question.
Yeah, but
the other slaves, they were very willingly guy. Like, oh, good. Our God's here.
There was one guy, the swarthy looking guy.
Yeah, he was the heavier set guy. He was the one that accepted his yoke of slavery. You know,
because they did. Oren did say something, I want to say, against it. And then some guy kind of pummeled
him.
Yeah. We don't need you speaking against the way it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, I found it interesting that the movie, like, you know, because, I mean, once it set up that thing and I drew that parallel to Zardoz, this is going to be a movie about, you know, you have to tear down this false idol and reach this, you know, level of enlightenment in order to, you know, free the human, you know, species or spirit, I guess, right? Yeah. And that's where the thing's going to go. But as I'm watching it tonight, I'm like sitting there going like, but Oren becomes the guy who goes beyond the veil, right? Finds this mystical answer to life and then has to bring it back. So he becomes the Messiah.
Well, to me, it was definitely Moses.
Yeah.
Because he went out, he found the Ten Commandments, whatever,
yeah.
and come back to free his people.
Well, there's a villain in this, Zygon. I'm saying his name wrong.
No, you're saying it right.
You are right, yeah.
So fucking generic. Darth Zygon.
Yes.
He's in a cape.
Yeah, he's got purple skin, bags under his eyes. He's the only guy I remember from the cover of the VHS. I never saw this movie, but I thought I had something to do with something else. I just never thought it was an American animation.
Yeah, that's the other thing about it, I guess, is that, you know, it's like, it's an American animated, well, I think the animation's actually done by a Korean.
Well, of course.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah. it's an American, like, full-on sci-fi,
just
you know,
like heavy metal, length. Fire and ice.
Yeah, but I think it's animated better than, like, heavy metal
but,
for well,
this
sure.
Is
really?
But this is rotoscoped,
no,
right?
No.
No. There, no
there's some of it, like,
I think
know,
there's definitely yeah. some scenes there's, rotoscoped.
Yeah, there's
this,
some.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
the when Dag, sure. Dag at one point, oh, sorry, we haven't even introduced it, but the character does a roll, you know, a gun roll where he's like doing
yeah.
the whatever
yeah.
gun barrel roll. Right?
There's definitely
like
a lot.
Gotta be rotoscoped.
I think rotoscoped in this for sure. I mean, it's not like Ralph Bakshi rotoscoping,
right.
but there's definitely some.
Well, there's attention to the backgrounds and the detail of the characters. I think elevates it over like heavy metal in my mind.
Yeah.
I think there's some, especially Fire and Ice, because Fire and Ice has like. The really rotoscope main characters, but it has like these paint daub backgrounds at some point.
I mean, the
like,
backgrounds in this are
trying.
Pretty good.
Yeah. yeah. Well, because they have to be in 3D, which
well,
is like.
Well, they look like. I was saying that they look
like
every cover of an Edgar Rice Burroughs, like Warlord of Mars. You know, they
right,
just
yeah.
have that, like. What is this?
Carter
it looks kind of mossy, but it looks kind of like.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of like tall stems with a lot of moss.
Yeah.
A lot of kind of fuzzy moss.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, in the movie, it like,
but I did think it looks great. I think it looked awesome.
Yeah,
I do. I thought it looked really good.
Well, surprising. Yeah. But that's again part of the thing is I wonder if because they knew they had to design stuff in layers, because I'm assuming that the method that they used to shoot this movie was to shoot through like multiple panes of glass with different paintings on each one, so it gives you that layer of depth.
Which they were doing that back in the 30s with
well,
like
it's always been how
the
you
Popeye.
Isn't that always how you do animation?
I mean, it is, but usually they don't have a lot. I mean, that is how you do your. Here's your character. Here's your background. But they've never. They don't need to do that separate. They don't need to do that that separation. I mean, if they just put a character on a background, they don't have that 3D separation. They don't have that distance behind
them. Well, maybe
them,
I'm
you
thinking
know?
Like for like
but if
moving
you put
shots
like,
where they have like, you know, the background moves at a different speed than the foreground. You know, you've seen that.
For
yeah.
sure. But that would just be like two planes where this
yeah,
goes to
yeah.
like almost four,
yeah,
five. You know,
yeah.
this goes through all these planes that are set at different locations or whatever
yeah.
fuck. But you can watch the first time I ever saw this is in I want to say it's Popeye meets Alibaba and the 40 Thieves, where you see a nice like panning of a cave
mm-hmm.
with like different sections. Like I don't know if the cartoon was presented in 3D in the 30s or if they just did that where you can actually see how there's like levels, distance.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's 2D animation, you can fucking really tell
yeah.
the separation of the planes.
I don't know when you're talking about.
Yeah, dude, that's a really good one.
It is.
I'm the greatest.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
Sinbad the Sailor.
I've only ever seen it in 2D. Yeah, you can see it.
Well, I'm not entirely sure.
For those of you whose ears are bleeding now.
I've never made love a Technicolor before. Dude, that's a classic. That's a fucking classic. I'm sorry.
Well, the movie kind of announces its intentions once Zygon kills Orin's girlfriend who's trying to escape with him. But, you know, we don't have to go through the entire movie, I guess. But, I mean, like, the beginning of the movie where Orin finally escapes Mine World to the world above. And he meets these mandroids. He kills, we were talking about.
I want to say something about when he first comes out. Dude, this is what I like about a cartoon versus a real movie, where when this fucking dude that's lived underground his whole life, where just the above ground is almost a mythology, almost like heaven or hell, when he first sees stars and he comes out, he fucking cries, man. That touched me. That's what it's about, man. That's like what real freedom, real world is like. Oh, my fucking God, man.
Yeah, it's like the way his mind has been blown at that
point. They've been told digging up is hell.
Digging upward is hell. Don't go upward.
So beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, dude. I was like, that really, like, I was like, fucking hey, man, these guys.
Yeah. But I guess I was going to just, you know, talk briefly about, like, the violence in the movie and, like, the way that it goes. Like, some of the less PC aspects of the movie, is the violence. Which, stabbing. Again, like, as an adult, you're watching it. Well, even when I was a kid, I thought it was awesome. But, like, you know, now you're like, whoa, would that be responsible to, like, show this to... But yeah, there's like stabbings, eye gougings, eyes being sliced out, people being sliced in half.
Dude, this is
blood, you know, like, well, I guess it's discolored
some
blood.
Sort of goop.
It's always green or blah blah blah.
But it's what was considered. We were talking about EC Comics earlier. What was considered gore. You know, the gore of the cut.
It was that fucking heavy metal. It was that putting a little bit of, like, because it is a cartoon.
Right.
And they do always make sure that it's, like, a cyborg or an android. They're never necessarily killing real people.
Well, right. That's true.
They're always some sort of artificial life form so you can separate it from a human. You know what I mean? Yeah. But, I mean, I do still have to agree with Colin where, I mean, the reason I fucking fell in love with animation and, like, drawing in the first place is because when I was a little kid and, you know, as you're growing up, you're like, I guess most people would, like, fall out of cartoons where all I did was find cartoons to grow up with me where it's like, well, that guy just said son of a bitch. Well, that guy just stabbed the fuck out of that guy. You know, it's like cartoons are growing up with me even though they're from the past. They're from the 70s and 80s,
but
you
that's
know.
The thing
I still found them as I was growing up.
But with cartoons now are a lot, you know, like modern stuff, it's like, or even within the last, like, 20 years, I would say, are written from a level of sophistication where, like, you know, they're written with the teenager in mind, but the kid can watch
it. Well,
there's
the double entendres, but
yeah,
but a little
kid
can still
watch
it. So
you can still grow up with those and take them with you. But like in the 80s, the cartoons that you watched, the G.I. Joes, the Transformers, the Silverhawks, and the Mask TV show, you know, like those you really can't, I don't think so, that you can't go back to the same way that you can go back to the cartoons from, like...
Transformers, you can.
10 years ago.
I Transformers tried watching G.I. Joe again, I could.
Transformers was written by Marvel writers, so... Transformers, to me, is the most watchable 80s cartoon. Because, really, it's only two seasons, then the movie, then the third season takes place after the movie, which you don't need the third season. So, I swear to God, those first two seasons... Actually, the I want to say the third Transformer movies... The third Transformer movie used the plot of the second season of Transformers with the gateway, like the wormhole between Cybertron and Earth, where in the cartoon, that was a really cool story. Like, so everybody out there, I know what you mean. You can't go back to a lot of these 80s shit, but dude, Transformers, man, they were written a little bit better because it was a really big Marvel Comics push behind, Transformer.
Well, mentioning Marvel, I went back real quick, just a real quick side note. I went back and bought the G.I. Joe trades of the Marvel stuff. And I read like the first trade. I'm like, who the hell wrote this? Stephen King? What the fuck do we need this many words in a comic book for? This is way too wordy. Just punch somebody in the face for Christ's sake. That's all I want to see. Shoot somebody.
But I do love how in this era of animation, like, I mean, I love anime. And the reason the Japanese are so awesome at animation is because they could take very little money and, you know, they may have kind of more still shots or You know, they'll have two still shots, but they kind of do like a almost like a pan of both going the opposite way, just to kind of create like an artistic like, you know, almost as if both things are coming into your vision. You know,
yeah.
Like they use tricks to save money, so the Japanese learn to be way more emotional and artistic with their cartoons.
Japanese are like super detailed, though. I mean, like the detail level in Japanese anime is like holy fuck. Like,
but I was I mean, they've always been pretty detailed, but these American animations from like, I mean, the ones that are heavy metal, American pop, rock and roll, this movie. See, we really tried to, like, animate every fucking second and frame of a person like you would a stop-motion animation or whatever.
Right.
Where the Japanese people, they'd have people be still, and they'd move the backgrounds for, like, an emotional, like, whatever. Yeah, that's how
Kimba and Speed Racer, that's what I come up with, was that kind
of thing. It's like, even though it was more simple, they were able to get more emotion out of it because they can make it seem faster, where American animations... I mean, they seemed a little slow because they were really trying for every second. And
they're like, well, you got to see the spaceship.
They can't just zoom out of your sight. Well, which is like, man, they should have done that, because it's like, how can you be in a chase if two spaceships are just like going like 5 miles an hour?
But they do the camera angles of a live action. It's like how you would shoot it if you were doing a live action movie. Yeah. I got that impression a lot through this, through the, you know, outer space chase scenes or whatever. It was like, this is how you'd shoot it. So there's the rhythm of the editing. In contrast to the Japanese stuff, is a lot more snappy. It's which is the American like attention span kind of thing, right?
Right.
Whereas like this is how it's in.
You gotta have that 3 to 7 seconds.
Yeah, like, this is how an American audience like appreciate. Well, I mean, I guess that's why I kind of like the movie. Is like it does have that. You know, it feels like if it was a live action movie, like you could have done this as a live action movie. It just, you know, I mean, obviously depending on your budget. So if you had, you know, if you had Star Wars budget, you could pull it off. Well, I don't even think.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a grand vision that, you know, like if it was live, if the story, I guess I'm talking about like the story and the characterization, you could have made a live action movie out of it. It would have worked, but it works better in animation because you can actually dramatize like,
right,
the giant scale.
See,
this
thing, I don't think it would be, because it's like there really is no story to this movie. It really is the fact that they could animate a Star Wars.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, if you were live action, you'd be sued by Lucas.
Because really, what it's just like, so the blade turns into like an Obi-Wan guy. He's like, find the blade. Well, then he made it disappear. It's like,
it's weird that
I had a blade. And then they go to the place and they find out, like, hey, you're the chosen one, quote unquote, and you got to find the blade. Yeah. But, like, he's just like, where do I go for the blade? It's like, even though his quest is supposedly to find the blade, he really just gets, like...
Yeah, but it's the blade that puts him on the quest, which is strange.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think, where, like, traditionally we would see where he would be on the quest, he would find the blade, he would get the, you know, learn to, that it's all within himself during the quest that he was already on. But this is, like, the thing that he's trying to find is the catalyst for... him starting the quest. Well,
for sure. Which, that's a totally good point. Because, like, okay, because he escapes with that girl, but then right away he runs into the fucking Darth fucking, whatever his name is, Darth.
The Darth Vader stand-in.
Darth Zygon.
I guess I see what you're saying, but because when they find the sword, it's a full sword. The blade dematerializes and turns into... I mean, you're saying Obi-Wan
it's
Kenobi.
It's the Shazam wizard, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, he's a Shazam wizard. Yeah. He's a Obi-Wan.
But the drawing, he looks like the way that God in the clouds is always depicted.
Really? Big, the white beard.
I guess, you know, Santa Claus.
Just white
he's
wizard.
Got that, Gandalf or something.
Yeah.
And he appears...
Insert generic wizard here.
Yeah.
The blade turns into this guy, and he relays the message, go find the blade. And that's what sets him off on the
mission.
But then he gets automatically, like, captured. The dude kills his girlfriend, which I thought was an awesome, brave choice in this movie. I was like,
awesome! Like, right away.
Yeah. Right away, I was like, boring. This guy loves it. Awesome! She's dead! Who saw that coming?
But that's that thing of, you know, revenge. Now he's got to get back at Zygon. Well, I suppose he has to free his people.
It just, rise up, free his people. Yeah,
it made it personal.
It's all about his girl. Don't... Yeah. People are second.
Damn it! I was going to hit you notice, that for the first time.
You notice he left his brother Tiny
life.
Tim behind. He didn't give a shit.
Oh, Tiny Tim. His blind brother.
Yeah.
Blind who brother. I like. You can see the little scar across his nose. And then when they killed that, like, old man guy with the laser whip, you know, they wrapped the whip around his head. And you're like, oh, fuck, cool. You know, that's how this kid would have gotten blinded by getting whipped in the eyes with one of these. Like,
that is a good point.
Yeah, yeah. That's how he would have gotten blinded.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, before we go too far, I suppose we should address the elephant in the room, which is the fact that this thing came out 2 years after Return of the Jedi, so it's probably being made
Left
during
void.
The time
yeah,
of
right.
mm-hmm. Star Wars. So how many Star Wars comparisons did
a
we
lot.
See in the movie?
Man. A lot. AT walkers, fucking yeah. like...
The part where it was like, oh, it's just, it's just like flying Beggar's Canyon back home. That was, they yeah. almost said it.
We talked about, I mean, as soon as he ran into that, like, there's another human named Dag.
Dag DeBrini.
Dag DeBrini?
DeBrini. DeBrini.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the Han Solo, even though he accuses the... Orin of being a smuggler.
Well, and Silicon, she was, I like I said, she's post-op C-3PO.
Yeah, but she was to me, she is the, I mean, she's the Metropolis girl. Yeah. I mean, she is she is C-3PO. Yeah. She was the Metropolis girl.
See, I thought Arthur is the AI that runs the Star Chaser, which is the ship that gives the movie its
that
name.
That might happen to look exactly like the fucking Serenity from Firefly.
Yep.
Except
yeah.
it has Holy a nice, shit. When it opens, I like the way when it's landing platform. It's the mouth of like a dragon kind of. But I thought Arthur was the C-3PO. He was like
robot.
He
was, I
like
can't
Ed
remember
Wynn.
The actor.
Oh,
yeah.
Look out, guys.
Yeah.
He was kind of all the sidekicks. I mean, he was your C-3PO. He was your R2-D2. He was your Chewbacca. I mean, he had characteristics of all of
right,
them.
Right, yeah.
Because he had like a little Dag carries around a little phone.
Won't even call it.
Which if you watch
a car phone at one point, you call her, I don't need your help, you slut, or something like that. And
really?
It's like, well, yeah. Or when she was trying to fix him. Yeah.
You stupid bitch. Was
yeah,
it?
Something, whatever. Yeah. It was pretty. Yeah.
The fuck?
Right? No, this is a kid's movie.
I didn't
right?
know that.
Yeah. Well, he picks. This is like another one of these scenes that so you're like now sitting back, like, what were they thinking? But they pick up this government Fenbot.
That was
that
great.
They used to blast their way out of like right. you know some
she's
spaceport as a shield, yeah. And she's
the
like,
most Eisley spaceport.
So she's yes. you know
most
she's
Eisley.
She's
that
been
right
kidnapped.
There is the biggest den of villainy in our world. Yeah. I mean, there was the same line almost.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I mean, she's you know you're looking at this as like I don't know what status you know like robots have in this universe, but I mean she seems to be like a sentient being, right? That he kidnaps,
well,
uses
she's programmed
as a shield.
To be personal.
Yeah, and it's like so he's got to change her programming, right? Because she's all like, "Let go of me! You're kidnapping me."
Yeah.
Where are her personality circuits for the reprogramming?
Arthur the ship's computer was embarrassed. He turned red. His computer chip, like all his. His
lights went red.
Yeah, all his screen, his control panel lights went red. He's like, it's in her, I'm like, what?
Posterior.
It's vagina? Yeah. Where is it? Posterior. I was like,
so this requires Dag to.
It was a good recovery.
Well, he puts a piece of tape over her mouth while she's protesting. He unscrews her ass. And
we call that Saturday night around here.
Yeah, and what was he doing? What was he doing?
He reprogrammed her because once he's reprogrammed, he was modifying her personality circuits.
Oh,
because once he does, then she's
if
like,
oh,
Dag, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what the fuck?
I thought that was cool, though. I thought that was cool.
Well, she went from being, what was the, I can't remember, the robot from Spaceballs.
Oh, my God.
Remember?
I wouldn't
she
know
was
the
like,
name.
Rivers
yeah,
robot?
Yeah, but she was like that robot until, and then all of a sudden she's, she's the freaking chick from Cool World.
Hollywood
if she could.
Hollywood. And the switch personality. But it's like fucked up even
awesome.
More than that. Like once after this,
that's the best
like,
part of this movie.
This scene, then he takes her to a slave market to sell her into slavery.
Yeah, to sell her to like robot sex slavery. This guy's a badass.
Well, I mean, Han had no scruples. Let's face it. Han was a...
Dag. His name's
Dag. But Han, it's the same person. But...
I don't know. This guy, I liked how this guy was a little older, had a...
Well,
he had my hairstyle. The,
we talked
the,
about he kind of reminded me of Harry,
the Peninsula
Harry the cab driver from Heavy Metal.
Yeah, Harry the Cavort.
Because he was a
bitch,
cigar chomping.
Nobody touches Harry unless I want him to or whatever.
But I mean, like... he understands that she's no different from like selling a used laptop, right? I mean, right. He's just trying to make a profit computer. Off.
Just like, yeah, like, make it cool.
Sure, she's got a personality.
Who's going to be selling out robots in the future?
Even though at the end of the movie, like he does, like she's crushing on him the whole way. Like,
yeah, you know, right. Yeah.
Because he's the guy who reprogrammed her, and at the end, in the midst of like this emotional, like we won, he makes out with her.
Well, he's a man.
Well, and then he gets electrocuted. Then we find out he's into prodding. Yeah. So that's a whole different thing.
I mean, I say he kissed her. I don't think he made out with
her. Yeah, he just kissed her and got shot.
There were sparks. There were sparks.
Well, but if you think about it, the reason she fell in love with him, he really did give her her freedom. She didn't have that freedom before. She was programmed.
Yeah.
He changed her program and he did set her free in a way.
And made her into the object.
And then sold her. I mean, whatever. That doesn't say he's a great person.
But then Orin, you know, Orin was
girls like the bad boy.
We can't get rid of Silica.
Yeah.
She's a friend.
It's all artificial intelligence, right? I mean,
no, but you're supposed to. Well, because this wraps around DeVart.
What's that movie with Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, her.
Zygon.
She.
Her.
Yeah.
Well, the movie. Zygon turns out to be a robot. And then you find out that, like, dude, he wants robots to take over the galaxy. Yeah. And he's instilled robots everywhere.
All right. Yeah. Now, so I've seen this movie before.
I don't know why he doesn't give Order 66.
Now, explain to me what exactly. Okay, so there's a mythology that's built up here because Orin is apparently one of the Kaka. Am I getting that?
Kaka's like
there's a lot of Kaka.
That's just like a prophesized, like you're the one that will bring balance to the force. You're the that's what a Kaka is, I guess.
There's like
he's just a prophesized.
They're the elders.
Yes, they're the guys that are like enlightened to the extent. Because at the end, you find out like you can join the Kaka. Your consciousness is raised.
Yeah, they're basically like the Jedi.
I guess it's like as long as you want freedom for your people, as long as you want freedom for everyone, then like you're an enlightened being.
It's
and
the
you
ultimate
can, like,
power up.
Like, but the guy said like only like 12,000. That's what was really weird is because first the bad guy's like, could it be the Kaka?
That's right.
And then they just don't say anything. Right. And then he said, the Kaka, every 12,000 years there was one. Or something like that. Or like 12,000 years ago, there was one.
Zygon was around, apparently, 12,000 years ago when the Kaka first appeared and led some revolution, we assume.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Although there's five of them, so maybe there have been a bunch of them. One of them looks just like Jesus, right?
Yes.
Okay, when we see them.
I thought that was the Obi-Wan guy, like in his young version, right?
I don't think so, because there's five separate guys.
Merlin, the Lady of the Lake. There was Jesus.
The sword and the sword.
Jesus and Gandalf. Yeah. And then there was like one other
and
one
God.
I can't remember. Yeah, God. God was the other one. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But so maybe it was like every 12,000 years. I mean, we don't know how
far. Every 12,000 years, there's like one guy.
Yeah, there's this one guy. It's like Neo in the Matrix, right?
Yeah,
like
you just see freedom.
This movie kind of draws off of every mythological inspiration and kind of rolls them all.
Well, that's what they call it. Remember Titan A.E.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always the prophesy.
Well, here's the thing: is how does a robot that was around 12,000 years ago is still the most sophisticated robot in the movie?
Well, because he's not just a robot; he's the robot.
That's true.
There's a line of dialogue.
I'm the robot, motherfucker.
But I like the way that he ties it all back to like so this is our future. This movie, because he says, years ago on a obscure planet,
a computer
beat a human being.
Move 37 was the chess move that the first fucking intelligent artificial life form thing, like, you know, he just did something that we didn't think he did.
But we're assuming that Zygon is like the
human
of his creator. You know,
artificial intelligence, man. The problem is humans. Robots will decide that, you know, humans are the problem, so they gotta get rid of us.
That's what happens in this movie.
Yeah. That's not really what happens in this
movie.
For some reason,
he's not trying to get rid of humans. He's subjugating
humans. Because when Orin meets that Princess Leia character,
Aviana? Anyone?
I lost it.
It was Aviana.
Yeah, I don't know.
To me, she was. She reminded me of the. We were talking again.
She looked like the redhead
from Harry.
She looked like the redhead in Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was giving this babe the red, white, and blue forever.
The Stars and Stripes.
Yeah, the Stars and Stripes. Yeah, the Stars and Stripes forever.
Yep.
So, yeah, I totally agree. She did look exactly like her. But she...
Yeah, where did she come from? I can't remember.
She had met him at the auction for Silica. Oh,
yeah. Okay. But her father was like the Grand Emperor of the whatever quadrant of the galaxy that they all operate in.
And they lived on
Alderaan or something like that. Yeah, right?
And Zygon is the commissioner of the mining consortium.
Well, little did he know he was the last human planet, according to the plans.
Well, because, well, supposedly these people, they all think, what are you talking about? Human slavery was abolished thousands of years ago. Robots have been the only things mining.
Yeah, because...
And the robots,
the princess thinks that...
They've had a whole other thing going on.
Exactly.
Because
she was told that they're robots down there, because she didn't... When she goes to think, because Orin told her, no, there's humans down there. And then Zygon's like, no, he's telling you it's a lie. So, yeah, they were told there's just robots down there, no more humans.
Well, he says he's been working, Zygon says that he's been working for 12,000 years to basically, you know, bring this artificial intelligence, which he's a part of, into every part of the galaxy, except for her home planet. So he's at a point in time where they kind of force his hand. The returning of the Kaka. You know, makes it like we have to act right now because they're setting in motion this thing that like hit her father's going to find out. That's going to fuck our plan up. So we have to amass an armada and go after her planet, you know, or whatever.
Which is where the Blue Oyster Cult.
So they're going to blow everything up.
Or at least Radar Rider. Well, and the thing is, I'm sorry, but either somebody had a great sense of humor or didn't really think about naming the chosen race the Kaka. I'm sorry,
well, I can't tell if it was Kaka or Kakan. It sounded like Kaka, right?
Yeah, Kaka. Kaka. Yeah, exactly.
Or is it Caucasian?
It's like a powerful bird.
They're all white
people.
Right?
Caucasian.
Oh, this movie's racist.
Yeah. You go right ahead there.
There was
Captain
no black
Clam.
People in this. Just purple skinned people and white people.
Hey, we have to explore all options here.
There was a dreadlocked black guy who was leading the stormtroopers.
Yes, he did have the two twin stormtroopers.
The bounty hunters.
Yep. And then don't forget the badly drawn Alibaba and the 40 Thieves cartoon.
The Middle Eastern guy.
I thought they were cool. Yeah.
There was actually... Sorry,
they reminded me of the end of the heavy metal sequence.
That's right.
The green guys.
Yeah, they go into the desert and meet this guy, a Bedouin, in his tent who's buying crystals or whatever. But there's a scene missing from this version of the movie that we watched.
Really?
I think you identified... Well, we're watching a version that came off of a Japanese laserdisc.
Oh, yeah, we watched it in 3D, folks.
Yeah.
By the way.
That's the only way you can see it in 3D is the Japanese put out these series of VHD discs, which predate laserdisc in Japan.
How big were they? It's the same size as like vinyl?
Record, vinyl. Yeah.
Holy fuck. Wow.
And they
double-sided?
Put out Yeah, double-sided, but every movie would come on, like, two discs. So that's why there was always, like,
holy fuck.
So, I mean, the Japanese put out Friday the 13th, like, all the 80s and 50s 3D movies the Japanese actually did put out on the home video market. Those were eventually bought by some collector here who dubbed them off to VHS and sold them all on eBay. And now you've got people taking those and making, you know, versions that work on your modern TV screens. So we did see it in 3D.
Which I wonder how expensive it would be to actually track down one of these Japanese players. And it can't be that expensive, right? Usually technology that goes away.
Yeah.
It's not like collector shit.
Kind of rare, I would imagine.
You think?
A VHD. Yeah, you have to find a VH. It's called VHD.
VHD.
Folks, if you're out there looking at VHD.
I mean,
if you find
it
and you were able to make a copy of this. So they had to flip sides. So in
God
doing
bless
that,
Colin and his lost technology.
Yeah, no shit.
Well, because
how do you
I'm 3D obsessive,
3D
right?
Obsessive.
So I'm the one who's like, you know, going nuts, going like, how do I get? There has to.
I never even heard of this goddamn movie. I mean, well, I said I saw the cover when I was a kid at like the video store, but I didn't know that until I started watching this movie. I'm like, oh, fuck, I know that bad guy.
Could have been that.
There's a scene that we missed that I realized later.
Yeah, that scene.
I think maybe because it was a side break or something, they cut it out.
Oh, the disc flip.
Yeah,
for sure.
There was a scene. I remember when Dag drops Silica off at the slave auction, he wanders away. He's like, I gotta go take care of business. And then Orin comes up and buys Silica from the slave auction. And Dag shows up again. He's like, so how much did we win? And it's like, oh, Orin got it, blah, blah, blah. There was a scene where Dag went and saw some oily, you know, I don't know if he was trying to offload crystals or what. But there was another scene there with another character where Dag actually did, you know, like meet with somebody.
Was it like character development for Dag?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
It's hard to remember because now, again, it's been years. But I just remember, you know.
Well, we saw.
I think it was maybe like that's where he finds out that Orin is wanted by Zygon and there's a bounty on him. I think maybe in that scene. Like,
no,
the guy
we found
like,
that out with those green guys. They're the ones that told Dag. Those guys told Dag. They're like, that guy's got a fucking $1 million Starbax, wanted dead or alive.
Yeah, but I think Dag already knew because of this other scene. I think that's why he treats it so nonchalantly. There, it's like, yeah, whatever, because he finds out from this, like, you know, it's not a slave trailer. It's a trader. He's like a,
gangster.
He's smoking a hookah. Yeah, he's like a gangster or something. A hookah gangster.
It's Jabba the Hutt.
It's missing from this version.
Like, we're gonna find out. And then did Dag shoot him through the table?
All right, so yeah, we were talking about that. Okay, so you got the C-3PO character, right? Is Arthur or Silica,
right?
Yeah,
you got Princess Leia, who's a princess in this. You've got
Chosen One. He's the prophesied
Luke,
the Luke and the Han Solo characters. You've got the mystical Force energy, which is find it within yourself, and you've got this thing. What's the analog Firefly for the Firefly? Thing.
But he ends up
R2-D2.
Doesn't the Firefly end up being the old man? Right?
Yes. Or it is like some kind of spirit that's helping him out.
That was the only thing that was really stupid.
Because when he could have went off at the end, he had one of those above his head.
Yeah, he was going to become a Firefly. Yeah. Some kind of energy.
Well, he was already flying in it, so he might as well become it.
Yeah. But there's also like plot parallels. I mean, at some point, they go to a place like Mos Eisley. It's not a Death Star, but it's because building. It's on. It's a building, but for all intents and purposes, they have to go in through an exhaust port. They blow the thing.
The enemy ship. It was Star Wars.
Center, and at one point, if you look, you can see Obi-Wan trying to disable the tractor beam.
There was a tractor beam.
It should have been there.
But so, I thought it was a pretty good, like,
it should have been.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, I guess it's like, I'm aware that there are a lot of Star Wars similarities in the movie. More of this, right? Well, I've seen it. It's like,
a couple.
But at the same time, to me, it doesn't feel like Star Wars enough that it's like, it seems to function as its own thing, and I think it's because it's putting in like the Arthurian, which I guess it's in Star Wars too.
Right? Well, and it's like the robots versus the human. I mean, it does have I like that whole idea of a mining colony kept secret by this like robot general guy, like unknown to the rest of the human population. I mean, that's cool. They just did it. This movie, for some reason, didn't personalize. They should have had the one scene where the bad guy is seen as the servant of a human guy with the, like, but he doesn't know my secret. Like, there was just no scene really connecting that guy to the whole universe, except for they're just like, well, that guy does this or that guy does that. I mean, they just...
But I thought... Well,
I think because he should have been somebody of trust. They should have trusted him to some extent,
But I think
extent,
we
right?
got that, though, didn't we? Proxy, because at one point we, you know... When Orin is found by the Princess Aviana, hopefully I'm saying
that right. She says, I wasn't supposed to...
Yeah, she takes him to, like, if we're going to clear this up, we're going to go to the Mining Commission and talk with Commissioner Zygon. And, like, Orin's like, what the fuck? You know, and when he shows up, it's Zygon, because she's like...
But you should have seen the character himself having that. You know, I think you needed that for the understanding of it.
You didn't get the idea that he was in the servitude.
Didn't see the connection of Zygon to the rest of the universe.
Well, we never see the Grand Emperor.
Oh, I'm just this
Aviana's father.
I'm a
bad
guy that runs this mining facility, and then her father, my father, is some guy somewhere.
Yeah, important.
And I was like, well, who the fuck? Where are these people?
Yeah, you never did see her.
There's a lot of if you think about it, there's a lot of political shit going on in this movie, but the movie does not focus on it. It just I'm the guy with the sword. I gotta fight the robot, bad guy, you know, the cape, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I didn't like it, like I said, thinking about it, I'm like, fuck, it's got a pretty cool story. It's got a cool, except for the whole, like, the blade was always in you. You know, that's like, of course it is, you know.
But that's always also in like, you, Jesus. It's the human spirit will triumph over technology,
right? But he's
not human.
He's
right?
The chosen one. That's why I don't like that.
But isn't
like,
he a representative? One.
He's a caca.
Right. But cacas are human. The
he's
caca,
not being
well,
human
and whatever.
Yeah. But he's a specially born guy like me and you. We don't fucking midichlorian off the, like, levels off the chart. We're just dudes. Yeah. And so I don't like that. It's like, what's supposed to be, this is the human spirit story, it's like, well, I'm not the fucking Messiah, so how am I supposed to relate? I mean, it's supposed to try to, that's why, like, these new movies like Divergent,
they try to make it seem like
you're just somebody sitting in the classroom, but you're special, where this is just like, dude, you are so fucking prophesized, man. Like,
only
one can relate to you, you know?
Years. Yeah.
It just kind of happens into, like, just being the fucking hero of the galaxy, you know? It's just like, fuck!
Well, I'm thinking about that. I mean, like, you know, I'm trying to go back, and I'm thinking, like, Neo or whatever, you know? I mean, like, where you have that... It's like, but he is...
But then they say other Neos died?
Yeah. Well, but the same thing happened here. The other Kakas died, or
did
whatever.
They?
Yeah, well, there's five of them.
Yeah, I guess so. Like I said, they don't really explain the like whole like.
Well, they beat someone called Nexus, which I'm like, who
no,
was Nexus
was that was
it the
Zygon?
Computer? It was Zygon.
Zygon
like
was Nexus.
Runner. Yeah, he's like the evolved version.
Well,
of
that's
Nexus.
Like when she took the Hilton, they put it on the scanner, and they're going through the different. I saw the Predator language in there. The freaking Japanese is like, come
think
on,
Predator had been out. Yet.
I know, but it just it looked like it. But I'm saying,
glyph, based,
But no, they didn't. The way, I don't know. He was Nexus. He had been there for 12,000 years. He messed up and almost lost it to the last, I'm assuming the guy with the beard,
I guess
right?
So,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess they should have explained that. They should have explained this generational,
at least on a
like,
flashback.
Like, I mean, they say
thing,
a
right?
thing or two. They just don't really, you know, explain it or show it the way you would in an animation.
But it's kind of weird, I guess, that this is, you know, it's an odd story then, because you're like, you know, you're looking at like, we've got, you know, all this technology, which culminates in Zygon or whatever, and then he's going to enslave the entire human race. So, but what the humans have, which the robots can never, ever have, is, I guess I initially took it as spirit, right? That they've got like some kind of, something about being human. The divine spark, I suppose, right? It is a fucking spark, like literally in the movie Little Fireflies.
Right.
That makes them different, but like as Travis is pointing out, it's like only if you are the chosen one or the prophesied one, which puts you in the league with like in the myths, you know, in mythology,
Hercules,
then it would be right. It would
Achilles,
be the son of Zeus,
yeah.
You know, or Jesus, or right. You know, some kind of like, you know, you're the one that was foretold to come and rid us of the, you know.
But
or,
it's, I guess it's still the idea
Anakin
that you
Skywalker.
Could be special, right? You could be the one. The only reason Orin is special is because he dug up,
but
like,
Orin,
up through the grave,
yeah,
or grave.
But
the grave,
Orin
the
becomes,
mines.
Like, by killing, this is the other
well,
thing, too, by,
a grave.
By killing the deity of Mine World, he kind of becomes the deity right at the end, because he not only brings them up to the surface, like he kills, like literally chops Zygon in half, reveals him as like first a man,
another
person,
Star Wars,
then
parallel.
Cuts his hand off in the parallel to Vader,
reverse
so it's like then you're a robot, then cuts him in half to kill him, and so then it's like okay,
Maul.
So I've totally defanged your god. Like, he's got no power left. I've taken all of his power away.
And that happened in Conan the Barbarian, right?
Right,
you
yeah.
cut the head off
become,
of Thulsa Doom so everybody can see he's just a man.
Apocalypse
or he's
now,
just
too.
A,
yeah.
Well, and even he fell in the pit and became
you assume, yeah, you assume the so, part of the person yeah. that you kill, right? The deity. So he takes them up, you know, to the top, to the surface world, right? And then somehow he gains the ability to heal the blind brother.
Which
like
is
he
where
touches
I
his
up.
Eyes, and this is a this is out of the Bible, right? You
right.
know, like Jesus
heals,
made the
yeah.
blind man see.
Right.
He does that because he's now infused with this. I'm thinking divine
force?
Spark because you said it. It's
divine.
The force
he's
spark,
just
whatever.
An enlightened person
yeah.
because that's the whole idea of I think the blade. The idea that he is able to. Make the blade physical, right? It comes from
right.
him. It comes from his deeds. It comes from his, like, whatever the fuck, right? So, like, him being so emotionally in tune is what is being able to, like, bring his, what, ideas to fruition, I suppose, right? Like him being so, like, fucking awesome. So fucking awesome. That's why the blade's inside him. That's why even without the hilt, he's able to form the blade, because it's all about, right, like,
yeah,
rule so much with your positive fucking vibes.
That concept is definitely there, and that's what it's all about, right? It's within you. You can do it.
That's it's all about.
Everybody has the potential to be Orin, right? In this story.
He just happened to be the one because he dug out.
That's the message. But yeah, the fact that he is the one, that's where the divine spark comes in.
Finding the hilt helped.
He has the ability to, you know, make the blind see, to cure illness, to do whatever. It's because he was that prophesized one.
Well, and I did like the part where he took the hilt and threw it up, and that's what actually opened the gateway to the lighted world, I guess, you know?
Right.
But, and then in the end, it's up in the stars, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is a character for, you know, if you're a kid watching this, that's what you can idolize. And the message is, you know,
it's just
have the confidence within you to.
It's weird that, I guess this is what I'm trying to grapple with, and I mean, I guess it's there, so how hard can it be? But it's like the idea that usually, yeah, you can aspire to be this person, but in this, it's like you can aspire to be a deity.
Well, but that's just, but that's like the classic Greek mythologies, right? That like, oh man, your father was a god.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker. You are more than human.
No, but you
There's
are not,
something about you. But that's why you're supposed to hope to be better.
But
why I think it's kind of like inhumans to like become artificial intelligence, is because we want to be better than what we are.
That's why Gary says he checked out at that point. And I think that some of us we also had comments while watching it, and that's because I think that this movie, it wants both. You know, it wants to have that message.
Yeah, the hero story where anybody can do it.
Yeah, but it also wants to be bigger than that.
They all want to do that, though. We were talking about, like, Divergent. I mean, all these movies nowadays where, like, you are the young preteen that is the most special motherfucker in the maze or the fucking whatever, you know?
Everybody gets trophies, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, you too could become the most special human being in the world, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the only thing I do, like, lose it. I want to say it was when that Titan AE cartoon came out. That's when I was like, I'm so fucking done with the prophesied dude, man, where it's like, you just have to be, like, lucky to be, like, the guy that this book is written about to, like, do anything in space. It just fucking seems like shit.
Was that all, like, I mean, that comes from, that's right? Like, religion, right? Isn't the whole
like I
say,
Greek mythology, the idea that you are somehow connected to, you know, a more, I don't know.
But I mean, that some great deed that you're going to do was foretold, like, years ago. At one point, it was told that, you know, someone had insight into the
prophecy.
Future.
Yeah.
And, you know, but is that a religious thing?
I definitely think the hilt thing comes into Greek mythology, because that's what they said, is they would take the heroes and put them into the stars. That's why you have Orion and Pegasus and all that in the stars.
And eventually,
same thing
movie.
With the hilt. This hill,
oh, the hill becomes
in
the
star.
Yeah.
It's a constellation.
Yeah. Constellation, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if you just looking at the Bible, you know, there's always a spirit or something coming to a person, telling them, prophesizing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're the person that has to make that happen.
Yeah, nowadays you're just Joe the Nut or Joe the Wino. Sure. Yeah, you're insane if you do it now. But back then you were the Messiah
you're probably insane prophet. Back then too, but the way the story's written.
But, I mean, who comes to Neo is Morpheus. So he's not the divine spirit.
But he sees the potential.
He's informed by the Oracle.
The Oracle.
Right? Obi-Wan Kenobi comes to Luke
still
Skywalker.
Up to Neo
he's
to,
informed by
know.
The Force.
Well, right. Absolutely. The Jedi Council, the Force. Yeah.
Actually, he balances the Force, so it just happens that R2 and C-3PO find him to bring him to Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but Luke Skywalker,
the Force,
like
the
I guess he's chosen by his lineage that, you know, he's the son of Anakin Skywalker.
Exactly.
He was a Jedi.
You are somehow connected already through your blood and the...
Yeah, that's right.
It's in your genes, yo.
Well, and they even go further. I guess a guy was explaining, I don't know the whole detail, but basically it goes further downward. Han and Leia's children become Jedi, and one goes to the dark side, one goes to the light. So, yeah, they're.
What are you talking about? Star Wars Episode 7?
No, I'm talking about the books. I don't know if they go to that. I heard. Well, I'm assuming that girl on the bike is Han and Leia's daughter. The one that, on the speeder bike.
Spoiler warning.
Oh, whatever. If you, that's a guesstimate. But no, these are in books. These are in the books. Yeah, right. The lineage of the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The now but again, non-canon prophesied books.
Because, again, it's happening again. You know, it's going to be go on and on and on throughout history. You're always going to have the villains. You're always going to have those that rise up to defeat them. You know, it was just, it was done in a cool way. I mean, there was a lot of fun along the way, too. It was, to me, a lot of it was finding the Star Wars parallels and some of the other things we had talked about, too. The symbol on the chest of all the bad guys is actually the symbol from... and I'll never remember.
Battle of the Planets.
What's the guy's name?
Gotcha Man. Or, I don't know the bad guy's name.
Zarkon or Zark. It's another Z name, but yeah. It's his very soldiers spacey. All had that fanged.
So nobody was
like a jackal.
Nobody was thinking Thundercats, right?
Oh, shit. That's what it, yeah. That's the one I think that, yeah. Was
okay. Yeah, sorry. I saw it on Battle of the Planets.
I'm like, I know I've seen this somewhere
before. Thanks about, like, for holding that until the end.
You think about the Mumra symbol or the actual
I thought I was crazy.
No, never, like, symbol's a sideways view of a cat.
Well, yeah, but has like Mumra a red, one, right? Like, little, like, fang thing.
Yeah, but it's from Thundercats, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, if you ever watched...
Didn't Tom used to wear a cap that had that fucking...
That's where I've seen it. Yeah, holy shit,
okay,
Tom.
There we go. Okay.
Tom, that's
I'm like, I've seen that somewhere before.
Was this the Thundercats?
I think so. No, the Mumra symbol. Or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not the profile.
So, well, I'm ready for wrap.
I guess we can. Wrap up. We'll start with Brent.
As I get another beverage. Yeah, I mean, wow. We're talking 3D spectacular, right, guys? Right?
Absolutely.
This movie is
super depth.
I think, you know, like what we've been talking about tonight, this movie is, it's a film with a lot of adult themes throughout it and a lot of big ideas. But at its core, it is, you know, it's that classic story about just finding the confidence within yourself to, you know, do whatever it is you have to do. And I think that it's on the grand scale in this film. It's like they've obviously seen Star Wars. They obviously wanted to do it. You know, it's kind of like, it's weird. I don't know why I'm making this parallel or this comparison, but I think about like the centralized idea of Avatar, right, is that classic message, you know, about saving the environment, put on this grand, you know, otherworldly scale. It's kind of like that. It's like let's have this message in there, but let's surround it in this science fiction epic. Really, I mean, when the animation, the detail, the 3D, all of it is it's an epic film. If you get a chance, I highly recommend. Oh, here I go.
And
I highly recommend it. And we said that we weren't going to do this anymore. I mean, I like the film is what I'm saying. And like everything about it it's good. You're going to notice a lot of stuff in it from Star Wars. There's just, there's no way around that. But I think that it's, you know, it has enough uniqueness to it that makes it worth watching. And I was never bored. So there you go.
I've always liked these 80s animations. They just took more time with the characters, just their faces. They didn't do much when it came to like stylizing. They really tried to make it look like they were trying to make as anatomically correct human beings as they possibly could, you know, and with as much like realistic movement as they could. I mean, which sometimes slows down the movements of the characters a little bit just because they're trying to be so precise. But I think that's the only thing about these cartoons from the early 80s that I think is a negative, is the idea that the movement's a little slow just to make sure that things look so realistic. And like, but that's like the only time they ever did that, though. That's why I fucking love these cartoons like American Pop and Heavy Metal. This movie for sure is because it's like, there's not a lot of money to be spent on animation, especially like frivolous. Yeah,
frivolous.
I know, right? I'll have another. So, So it's just kind of cool when they actually did spend some time to do that, because it's like, I mean, pretty much after the mid 80s, they're like, well, fuck spending money on animation. I mean, they just did. They just quit. You know, they just like, we just don't want to spend that much on anything. You know, I mean, that's how we got to computer animation and shit. So I always love going back to look at stuff like that. I mean, this is really funny just because it is such a fucking Star Wars ripoff. But if it was any other, if it was live action, it would be laughable. But since it was animation, it's like, they can actually paint the backgrounds. They can actually, you know, it's not so hard for them to do it, you know, and, you know, it's a little bit more forgiving. And, I mean, I wonder what I would think of this movie if I did saw it just in 2D for the very first time. I could have been, like, bored as fuck, you know, but just the idea that it was 3D, just like, you know, they brought aspects of it alive. You know, just that whole Viewmaster idea, right? The whole idea that, like, ah, cool, I can look at these different layers. I mean, I think 2D animation is what's always really needs 3D. It's just 2D animation, just because it really separates the characters from the backgrounds and from each other. And so I like this movie. I would totally recommend it. I hope they do a real 3D release of this at some point, which they will never do.
Starting an internet petition.
I'm starting it right now.
Okay. I had never, somehow this movie completely escaped my radar, and you know I've watched some garbage movies. Not that I'm calling this that. I'm just saying. So, but I had never heard of it until you had mentioned the other day what we were going to be watching. And so I came into it blind. I did enjoy it. I liked it. The fact that they took the time, not every robot was a freaking cookie cutter of the other robots. There was, you know, look like hundreds of different kinds of robots.
Yeah, for sure.
That even with the ships, they took the time to design different ships. You know,
even though I would still say some of the designs are a little like, and that's not so cool looking, or whatever. Yeah. But still, yeah, they definitely like, oh, these are these type of robots. Here's these type of robots. Here's these. I mean, they really separate.
Well, and that robot that the princess had at first was really cool. You're the one that noticed. He had really a lot awesome. Of detail to him.
Oh know? Yeah, dude, the back of his elbows were like were flat. That way, if his elbow, if his arm straightened,
it back.
Flattened
yeah.
together. I mean, I was like, that's fucking
so
brilliant. Dude.
Bend backwards.
Yeah, yeah. It would have yeah. just. You know.
Although then they had the C-3PO, what is that little bit? That
it's the little connector that's right, like the little hydraulic, the little... Yeah.
So, but they did take the time to do that, and just little things like the horses had longer necks. Just they tried to make everything look a little alien, familiar but a little alien, yeah. You know? And I think that's part of it. Yeah, there was a lot of the Star Wars elements to it, which was fun, actually, in the movie. It was pointing out, oh, this is this or this is that, you know, which we did during the movie. I the story again, it's the classic, you know, this is our hero, he's got to rise up through adversity, started from nothing, and he's going to wind up leading his people out of bondage, you know, but it was done in a cool way. The 3D, when I saw it at first, the one thing I will say, folks, if you're watching this in 3D, close your eyes for the first 10 seconds, because that damn logo about blinded me. I think I still have lacerations on my retinas from that. But other than that, I mean, it was good. I mean, there were parts that, you know, because of the transfer, you could see we'd lose a little bit of sound or stuff. But still, a good movie. I think Travis hit it on the head when he said it needed a different soundtrack. If we'd have put in the soundtrack from heavy metal, we'd be like, that is a kick-ass movie. I don't even care that it ripped off Star Wars, you know. But again, if you're a fan of heavy metal, the animated film, or Star Wars, and you just like that kind of charm from the 80s, and this is definitely the movie for you. I did wind up enjoying the movie. I did like it, and I would recommend it. So that's it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the reason why I love this movie so much. And I do love it because, you know, I was – actually, that was part of the thing going into it tonight was to try and find out for myself. I mean, again – I've seen this, you know, since I was 11 years old. I've owned it on every. I had the VHS. I didn't have the DVD. But I had the VHS, and you know, I've seen it since then. You know, the DVD version and in 3D. And I've always asked myself, I guess, since the last time I've seen it, I'm like, do I just like that movie because it's a 3D movie? Because I'm obsessed, right? You know, it's like some people have nostalgia, and
sure.
I'm sure that factors into it too. But you know, it's like, because it's 3D, and I like the effect of 3D, and this one is done in the style that they were doing in the 80s, where, you know, like, shit goes way back into the screen, so much so that I actually had a little bit of a headache when the movie was over, probably because of whatever the hell my eyes were doing, or, you know, this transfer, but
It's got super depth, you know?
Yeah.
Not, you know, you don't have a whole lot of stuff coming way off the screen, but there are moments when they try. And that impresses me because this is a, you know, you're trying to make three-dimensionality out of a two-dimension subject matter, which I've seen in comic books. Obviously, there's been comic books where you get the red and blue glasses and you look at stuff and you kind of get that pop-up book effect. That's kind of what this had, but it augmented that with scenes that, you know, receded, you know, there were objects that receded along what would be the Z-axis into the screen, you know, where you'd be like, holy fuck, that doesn't look like, I mean, it doesn't look like a, you know, it's a drawing, I guess. I was going to say, it doesn't look like a drawing.
Perspective.
It is a drawing, but it's done in a perspective that you're like.
Your animation before.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm assuming, right? I mean, they had Tron in 1982, so
yeah, but they
maybe there was some kind
that,
of,
like,
but that, there could have been some guide that they drew over the top of.
Well, that was very simple. Like, I mean, the boxcar thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
All that is drawing these boxes that get smaller and smaller and smaller as you draw it, and then you start turning
but
it.
But you have to draw that perspective. It's
you
not
don't.
Like,
I mean, but you draw the perspective, but all that is drawing lines.
Yeah,
going from
I think
point
that's what
zero
makes it easy
point,
is drawing the,
it's like,
the
it's
horizon
trick,
line,
you know?
But you have to draw one for the like you draw it for the left eye receding into the horizon, one for the right eye receding into the horizon. It wasn't like some of the other stuff in it where it was like, you know, I draw this guy on a pane of glass, and then I put the other guy on a pane of glass behind him, and that's, you know, they're on two panes separated by two panes of glass, and the distance then. The shit that went, like the boxcars that went into the horizon, it's like, you got to draw that separate and then composite that in. That's the only way that I could think that you could do it. Because you're compositing in.
Well, but all the backgrounds are all painted anyway. All backgrounds aren't drawn at all. So no matter what, every background is painted. So every background is separated.
Yeah.
2D, 3D, or as long as
you're saying,
animation.
You draw the boxcar separately, you composite it and you scale it down as it goes. Like
you would draw it in the drawing, heading into the horizon from like how it would look from the left eye perspective, and then draw it again from the right eye perspective. And when you see it in 3D,
it's just the idea that they had the
then
depth.
It's like, oh, depth.
It's just the fact that the depth
there's
was
math
on
involved
both
in this,
sides of the, you know.
Yeah, but then I mean, compositing that in a shot that was taken of the backgrounds, where it's like, here we have, like, you know, this cave in the foreground and then, like, cave in the background, right?
Who worked on this, like, as far as effects go? I mean,
dude, I didn't recognize a single name in this. Like, I mean, I'd have to, like, really, like,
it was released
to see, like, what they did with animation. Because I'm sure these guys worked on heavy metal. I mean, they had to have, right?
I don't know.
Maybe. So similar.
I don't know who Stephen Hahn, the director, is. I have no idea who he is.
I think I know who the writer is. John Scott, or what was it?
Jeffrey Scott.
I want to say I might know who the writer is, but I don't know. I'd have to, like I said, it would take some detective work. Which
yeah,
because
even the releasing company, Atlantic Releasing, I want to say Atlantic Releasing, maybe, I don't think they released Teen Wolf. I want to say they released something else around that era. And, I mean, this movie, I remember the day. I remember seeing the commercials during the Saturday morning cartoons, which is, again, it was pitched at kids. I remember the shots that were used in the commercials. I remember that it played for maybe 2 weeks in one theater in the town that I live in, and that was it. No one that I have ever talked to knows what the hell I'm talking about.
But
when I'm talking about this movie,
I never heard of this fucking movie. I heard of plenty of cartoons and 3D movies.
And
I'm
it's
like, what? Star Chaser?
Star Chaser,
what
like what? And I
about?
Think I think it deserves to be seen. I think it's better than, like, you know, you're like, probably, you know, a lot of these things kind of fall off because the only reason I can think that it's, like, you know, been discarded to time is because it's considered a Star Wars ripoff. You know, I'm sure, like, anything we would look up online would sit. Star Wars is going to be mentioned in there somewhere because of the parallels, but I still think it puts a unique enough spin on it where this isn't, you're not watching Star Wars again. You know, it's got this, like, pseudo-religious, mythological subtext, you know, that, well, I guess Star Wars did have
like
that.
The Temple of
enough,
Doom.
And it's got enough cool it's stuff like in Star it Wars doesn't suffer from the 80s stink, too. It doesn't have that.
I don't
except
know.
Except like, in the music.
Dude, Orin has well, a fucking music. Headband, all right?
Yeah, he's got a long hair and a headband.
He could jump on stage with Loverboy.
Yeah, I can't believe we're talking about 80s stink without Tom.
It's not much I would call 80s stink, but when it comes to animation, I see 80s stink. Like, that looks like a fucking gem.
Yeah. Which they're making a movie out of now. It's a trailer.
New comic.
Jim. Yeah, new comic looks.
Oh, yeah. Man. So, I mean, I guess
why
what?
Did you guys watch Jim?
Yeah, I showed him
Jim. The. I'm just saying the animation.
I totally watched Jim. Man. Watched it. What are you talking about?
They were hot truly
chicks.
Amazing.
And they were true. Yeah, she was truly amazing. They were hot. So was Chitara from Thundercats. I'm not embarrassed saying this.
Like some 80s animation girls from the. Yeah.
I think that was the thing. 80s animation girls as
we were past the point of looking at Bugs Bunny dressed up as a girl.
Right.
At that point.
And what's her name from Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I remember Chitara was. Okay, so we're way off on it.
Yeah. So do you recommend this? Or?
I mean, definitely. Chitara. Definitely. I think you have to go and look this movie up. You got to find it. It's on DVD somewhere. You'll see it in 2D, and I think that's, you know, a definite yes. Yeah, you got to check it out. So that's the Saturday night. No, that's not the Saturday Night Freak Show. That's Star Chaser, The Legend of Orin on the Saturday Night Freak Show. Next week, we'll be watching what Travis makes us watch. We don't even know what the hell that is. Does he?
I think we're going to slam evil with Billy Zane in The Phantom.
Dun, dun, dun. Let's.
Fucking superhero movie, guys. Eat it up.
And that's
you had your
week.
Cheesy fucking artsy award show. Time for more superheroes.
We had an artsy award show? Here?
It's called the fucking Oscars.
Oh,
the
shit.
Little pat ourselves on the back for being so fucking brilliant. Like,
we make movies about the human condition. Not fucking superhero
this
movies.
This is a rebuttal to the... Who said that?
That's right. Fucking idiots. They're all idiots.
Yeah, the Nightcrawler director.
All of them.
The superhero
fucking
movies.
Idiots.
All right, so that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, you can find all of our past episodes on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and on our website, which is SaturdayNightFreakShow.blogspot.com. And until then, the basement is going dark.